Well, welcome to day 11 of our series called Daily Acts, where we are in a 28-day journey going through 28 chapters of the New Testament book of Acts. My name is Christian Wilson, and I'll be your guide today. Well, Journey, I'm excited for this opportunity to get to share with you guys. I know that the New Testament book of Acts is going to have so much for us all to learn and grow in together. Specifically, I get to talk about chapter 11 today. I think there's so much good truth in this chapter that I can't wait to share with you. One of the big ideas I'm going to be pulling out, and so I want you to maybe journal, write down, keep this in mind. It's this topic of what the church is known for. What is the church known for? It's important for you and I to figure that out and to embody it. I think one of the best ways it's been said lately of the modern church, it's been coined by Jeff Henderson, who's an incredible speaker and pastor. He says it like this: for far too long, the church has been known for what it is against. We want to be known for what we are for. And so, Journey, as believers of Christ, we want to embody that. We want to be known for what we're for, not what we're against. And so I just thought I'd have a couple quick stories to share with you about what your student ministry is doing to show its community what it's for. And so, for example, we have a volunteer named Tony DeSoto, who's incredible. This man is on fire for God. And it's so cool because he has taken it on himself to pray for parents, to go and to be the hands and feet of Jesus in our community. And he just recently started serving. There's a really cool story where he has helped a mom really get back on her feet, get connected, and he's taken opportunities to pray for and mentor her son. He's truly for them. And that's important to know. You'll find out why as we continue through this teaching. Another one is Susie Johnson, has been serving in our student ministry for a really long time. She is a wonderful soul. And if you know Susie J, you know that she is all about hospitality and she wants to treat people with so much kindness and generosity because she is for people. She takes care of our volunteers on our student ministry team. I like to call her the volunteer that volunteers to care for our people. It's incredible the way she loves and serves them. She's for the people here at Journey. Our last one, Caleb Pickle. He is a high school senior that attends Journey students every Wednesday night, and he serves in our middle school ministry. So he's loving on middle schoolers. He's with his peers on high school nights. And man, he is for the gospel being preached at his school. A senior in a public school for the gospel. He's done that in many ways, but mainly by helping FCA be started at Apopka High School, making sure they meet regularly to teach the gospel and to meet in community with one another. That's impressive. That's courageous. And I'm excited because that is what the church is for. It's for the gospel being spread, the love of Jesus Christ being spread. You see, these people serve and attend Journey, and I love them like crazy. And to me, they remind me of this story in chapter 11 where we're going to dive into. So I want you to do me a favor. Go ahead. You can get your coffee, you can get your Bible, your pens, your notebook, whatever it's going to take for you to follow along today. And I want you and I to reflect on God's word and allow it to transform us from the inside out. So you can go ahead. You can hit pause if you need to get those things in order. I'll be right here. But I'm going to continue. So before we begin, I want to get us caught up on where we are in this story. Because if you haven't watched last day or so, you may not know what's happening in the book of Acts. And so chapter 10 is what we had just covered yesterday. I think Pastor Javi taught on it and he had an incredible word. If you haven't heard it, go listen to it. Pastor Harvey did an incredible job. It's very clear, concise teaching about how the gospel truly transforms lives. And that's what happened. Peter saw as the Holy Spirit fell on a group of Gentiles led by Cornelius, and he saw as that brought awakening and converted them from unbelief to belief. Peter saw that. This was an incredible moment because Peter then commanded those that began believing to be baptized. There's so many fundamental things that are happening in this moment that I think chapter 11 does the best job of opening up and exploring. And so that's what I want us to do together. Now, I know so far this has kind of been a recap, but you need to know that this is amazing and we can't miss out on what the early church just experienced. You and I, we may take coming to Christ for the very first time as normal, because here at Journey, we have a ton of people week in and week out that get to know Christ, and we get rowdy about it. And I love that. I do love it. But it's so important to know that when people go from unbelief to belief, they're also going from death to life. And that's worth us celebrating and being moved by. And so I want us to understand that truly this moment in chapter 10 that we later see in chapter 11 as a recap actually becomes a very important signal of an Old Testament, an Old Covenant thought found in chapter 12, verse 3. It says this, "I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. All of the families of the earth will be blessed in you." Crazy. We're watching as the Old Testament and New Testament intertwine and link up. I say all of this because Gentiles, who were non-Jewish people, just were invited to believe in Jesus. They felt the Holy Spirit descend upon them. All of a sudden, the Jewish people, who had been God's chosen people, had now found a new family was invited to the group, the Gentiles. Remember, chapter 12, verse 3, all families. I just want you to keep that in mind as we're diving in to chapter 11. You can now pick up with me. Verse 1 through 3 is what I'm going to talk about right now. It says this in chapter 11, 1 through 3. "The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, 'You went into the house of uncircumcised men and you ate with them.'" Now, well, I want to pause because you and I have to read that at such a deeper level than they seemed mad at Peter, which is true. They did seem mad with Peter, but there's so many things that are happening inside these first three verses. I'm going to break them down. So again, follow along, maybe underline, highlight what God is revealing in these moments. It says this, "The apostles and believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God." So that's more of the recap, what happened in chapter 10. Peter is coming and he's reporting to the church in Jerusalem of what happened. Like, how did these believers all of a sudden come? Like, how did they know about the Holy Spirit? And so Peter's trying to help explain that. So then in verse 2, "So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him." Let's pause. This is a group of Jewish strict believing men that were like, "Hey, how did this happen? Peter, how would you allow this? Why do you honor this?" And we say, why do you honor this? Because verse 3 said, "You went into the house of the uncircumcised and ate with them." In that day, in that time, when you would sit down and eat with somebody, it showed that you honored them. You agreed with them. You found favor with them. You respected them equally. It's crazy because Peter did this, and yet it would be unlawful for him as a Jew to actually have done that. It'd be unclean for him to do such a thing. And yet he did it anyways. I want to just quickly remind us that we're looking at why the early church was for people. And this is that moment. All of a sudden, a huge awakening is beginning to happen. There's a transition beginning in the early church. It's the church wasn't just for Jewish people. It was for Jewish and Gentile, all of the families. The church would be for all people. Crazy. I want you to keep that in mind as we're continuing to read chapter 11. Now, here's the thing. I'm not going to read verses 4 through 14. And you may be saying, "Pastor Christian, why not? Like, why wouldn't you do that?" Well, it's just a recap of what Pastor Harvey taught on in chapter 10. Again, if you didn't hear that, if you didn't listen to that teaching, check it out. It's going to be really good for you to learn and to dive in order to understand this part. But the reason I really skip it selfishly is because there's a part that I actually want to teach on more than anything. And I think it's going to be the most beneficial for you. So skip on down to verse 15 through 18. We're going to be looking at a total of 6 verses today that you can highlight, underline, so that you can go back to. But it says this in verse 15 through 18. It's Peter explaining to the party these things. He says, "As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning." Let's pause. What is Peter talking about when he's talking to this group of strict religious men in Jerusalem? Well, he's saying, remember at Pentecost, you guys, when the Holy Spirit fell on us? Yeah, that same thing happened to these Gentiles and to Cornelius. Like, can you believe it? He's trying to help them see that the same Spirit of God that moved in them at the day of Pentecost was moving even then. Let's continue in verse 16. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Huh? He's clarifying. Verse 17. So if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way? Verse 18. When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, so then, even to the Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. Church family, that's so good. That's such a wonderful truth. If I ended this time right here and that's all we had left, that should be enough for us. Because I know that repentance does lead to life for you, for me, and for all people. But again, I want you and I to take away four key objectives together today that will show you why and how the early church was four people and why you and I should be four people. So there's a couple things I'm going to just kind of clarify because I think there's power in the very end in verse 18. There's two things that happen that I want you to maybe circle in your Bible if you feel comfortable or write it down in your notes. It says this, I'll read it again and then I'll pause. When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God. Those are the two things I want you to circle. No further objections and they praised God. The reason I'm pulling that out is because it's important for you and I to see that in the weight of everything that was happening, these strict men of this teaching, this Jewish group decided to have silence and acceptance. They received finally the good news that Peter was trying to explain to them, and then they praised God because it was good news. So this is what I want us to pull out. There's four things that I think you need to know, four key objectives. The first one is this. Peter never forgot who the church was for, and neither should you or me. Peter never forgot that the church was for all people, that Jesus preached the forgiveness of sin through him. It's crazy. It's crazy to think that we have this truth and that sometimes we hide it away. Peter didn't do that. It's so funny. Peter truly was a good rock for Jesus to build the church on. Here's some things inside of that. Peter could have chose not to share the gospel to the centurion. He could have chose not to share the gospel to those Gentile people. But then he would have settled for tradition and not for this incredible revelation of the Spirit that those people had. And the second thing, we are either for God's plan or we ignore God's purpose. So we're either for his plan or we ignore his purpose. His plan is for you and I to make disciples of all nations. But if we ignore that, then you and I are ignoring one of the biggest hearts of God, which is for his people to come alive to know him. Here's a couple things. I think maybe this is helpful. I know that it sounds harsh, but an illustration might be what we need in this time. Sometimes we think of, you know, people who don't know God and we're like, like, you know, that's okay. They're living their life. Like, I don't want to, you know, make them feel bad. But I have a student pastor friend who once gave an illustration where he had a fish and he brought it on stage and it's at a camp retreat and he takes the fish and drops it out of the water. So, you know, the fish is floundering a little bit and we're like, oh no. Like the fish is gonna die and some of the kids are freaking out in the crowd. They're like, pastor, please, like save the fish. And eventually he saves the fish. But then he concluded, he said, some of you guys are more concerned about a fish on a stage than your friends that are back home and don't know Jesus. He's like, this fish is not as important as their soul. And he let the weight of that mess with us all. Because truly, in the moment, we had kids, some of them crying, the fish, they thought it was going to die. And he was like, no. The people who don't know Jesus and would live an eternity without him, that should break our heart. That should make us cry. That should pull on our heartstrings. And you know what, church? If you and I remember who we are for, it will lead us to do that. Because here's the thing, you've probably got people in your workplace, you probably have got people in your kids' school groups that don't know Jesus, and God has positioned you in order to lead them to Christ. Maybe you just haven't seen your purpose in all of it, but truly God has positioned only you to do what only you can do. And that is love them, encourage them, and teach them what God is doing in you. So church family, that's the second one. And the third thing is my traditions aren't as important as his mission. Just think about it like this. What if the Jewish men who were so strict when talking to Peter, what if they got so caught up in their tradition and that they could not focus on the new people who just received the Holy Spirit? What if they missed out on the new family members that had just joined this faith family? Well, that'd be sad. They will have missed out on a huge part of God's heart in church. You nor I want to miss out on a huge part of God's heart, which is why you and I have to be for all people. We got to be on mission. We have to look at our traditions and understand that they are not important compared to salvation. And I know that's hard to sometimes think in our worldly and earthly mind, and I get it. I get caught up in my own traditions too. But when it's salvation at stake, you and I have to surrender and submit to his will. Here's the last thing that I think you and I should take away. This is the last objective. God does things his way, not ours. The last one again, okay? So write it down. God does things his way, not ours. And I know it sounds simple, but think of each instance that happens here. Peter receives a vision on the roof from the Holy Spirit so that he goes and talks to Cornelius, and then Cornelius is able to reach his group of people, and then the Holy Spirit falls on it. All of these things are God's way. Probably not how Peter would have done it. When Peter goes and tells the church in Jerusalem all the things that God did, the people got upset because it wasn't their way. You guys, sometimes we just got to surrender our way for his way. We've got to understand that we are not always in control, but he is. And so church family, I would encourage you this week, take these four principles. I'll read them again. Peter never forgot who the church was for, and neither should we. We are either for God's plan or ignore God's purpose. My traditions aren't as important as his mission. And lastly, God does things his way, not ours. By allowing these truths to sit in your soul and to reflect on his word, it will not only, I think, encourage you, but empower you to be the disciple that he has made you to be. Well, church family, thank you so much for joining, and we'll see you back tomorrow.
Thank you so much for joining us for Daily Acts. And don't forget to subscribe to Journey's YouTube channel and sign up for notifications for future messages. If what you heard today was helpful or encouraging, please share it with others. Join us again tomorrow for the next leg of the Daily Acts journey.